This is Greg Olson, here to tell you about my new podcast, TE1. On the show, I had a chance to talk to my fellow tight ends who have revolutionized the position from an extra lineman to a dual threat superstar. And just like my guests have changed the game, this year, NFLSundayTicket.tv is revolutionizing your NFL viewing experience. Stream all the live out-of-market NFL games every Sunday on your favorite devices and never miss a moment from your favorite players. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use the promo code GREG88 at checkout and get 15% off your subscription. That's NFLSundayTicket.tv and the promo code GREG88. Subscribe to TE1 and get NFLSundayTicket.tv, an unmatched dual threat.
Fox creeping forward. He pulls up, 18-footer. De'Aaron Fox puts the Kings on top. Fakes once, fakes twice. Gives to Belly. 35-foot three for the win. Nemanja Bjelica.
We deserve this win, man.
When we're done, we go chop it up, eat, right. Golf, whatever you want to do. But for these 48 minutes, I ain't about them games.
Welcome back to another episode of the King's Pulse Podcast. My name is Brendan Nunez. Got Rich Ivanowski on here, as we always do. What's going on, Rich? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, and I'm glad to see our favorite long-necked friend here, Tim Maxwell. The Sacktown Baby Giraffe has joined us. How are you doing tonight, Tim?
You know, I'm feeling thankful, and I'm thankful because I did not watch the Clippers Mavericks game tonight. I spent time with family, so I'm feeling thankful. I'm just going to roll with that.
Yeah, sad to watch for sure. And, you know, Tim, we haven't had you on to get your take on a little bit of the GM situation. Does Vlade being out the door give you a little bit of optimism? Are you skeptical with Perry's name being thrown out there that we kind of dove into in the last episode? How you feel about the GM situation going on currently?
I'm cautiously optimistic. You know, the Kings have an opportunity, as they always do, to make a big move and get things right, or make a big move and get things wrong. They tend to trend the latter more than the former. But, you know, I guess two of the encouraging things for me is they're hiring a firm that has a very good reputation. And then, ironically, Vivek's couple of decisions that he's made in his tenure, a couple of them have actually been pretty good, between Mike Malone and the rumors that Dave Yeager wasn't necessarily Vlade Divac's first choice. So I'm cautiously optimistic. I think the Kings want to really get it right, and that gives me more hope than anything else. But I am with you guys that I have less than zero excitement over Scott Perry for sure.
Yeah. How excited are you to talk about potential Buddy Hield trades tonight?
I'm pumped. You guys know I love the trade machine. Everyone loves the trade machine. Rich put out some trades. I have a couple ideas. We're going to throw out some crazy ones, I think, tonight, and we'll see how people feel about those. Are you excited, Brendan?
Yeah, looking forward to it. Rich, you want to kind of lead this one a little bit? Like Tim said there, you just put out a piece for the B that laid down five hypotheticals here, and I think we could kind of start with walking through those a little bit.
Yeah, I can kick this off. I think it's worthwhile to do an episode on these. Actually, it was your idea, Brendan, to do an episode, but and I was only on board once we got Tim, the trade machine Maxwell, in here. But yeah, like this in this piece, it was really just kind of speculating on two articles that Jason Anderson had written, one about a potential unhappiness from Buddy based on some quotes when, you know, Hield was asked by Anderson if he would be comfortable with his role with the team going into next season. He said, "Y'all know me, y'all know how I talk, y'all know how I feel, y'all can read me well, so I'll let you answer that question." And I was watching the Zoom. I was in the Zoom at the time. And if when he's saying y'all, if he's referring to me as one of the y'all, then I would answer that question by saying no, he's not comfortable at all. His body language was very poor. He looked very upset. Anyway, so that paired with the speculation from an unnamed league source that Anderson had spoke to, not league source, I'm sorry, league executive. I have no idea what executive this was, but that executive said he thinks that the Kings will try to trade Hield sooner than later. So you can combine those two things to think, you know, there's a legitimate possibility Hield could be on his way out the door. Does that feel about right to you guys?
It does. I mean, I think that, you know, we've mentioned it a couple times that there is a little bit of an overlap with Hield and Bogdanovich. And as much as, you know, maybe we want to see that pairing play together, they seem hesitant to do that. And, you know, they are a little bit repetitive. I kind of see that there. And obviously Hield's situation with Walton and being misutilized. And I think you pointed out in your piece, he only averaged like something around 20 minutes in the bubble, which is just absolutely ridiculous for a guy that was your leading scorer. Not most recent season, but the year before. And yeah, I mean, it just, you know, you get a bad feel with Hield on this team, and it wouldn't surprise me to see him walking out the door and hopefully getting something in return this off season. Kind of not all too shocked by that, Tim.
Yeah, same here. I can put it kind of plainly and simply, if Luke Walton isn't gone next year, like this summer or this fall, I should say, if he's not gone by the start of next year, I think Buddy Hield will absolutely request a trade. And frankly, I can't blame him. You mentioned it, Brendan. He was misused all year, miscast, and then punished for that miscasting. And Buddy's not absolved of all guilt or all responsibility by any means. But when you have a guy who's a shooter and you use him as an initiator and then you use him as a defender when he's one of the league's worst defenders, the results aren't going to go well for you, and the player's not going to be happy, and he's not happy. So I'm very much with both of you that I think Hield is gone this summer or this fall. I'm going to keep saying this summer all this podcast. I mean this fall.
Yeah, absolutely. This is so confusing. Do you think, I mean, I guess we can talk big picture, but, and I was going to get into whether you would be comfortable trading him before the next GM is in place, but that kind of would destroy our whole, the fun we're going to have, because we're, the trade discussions we're going to have aren't based on any in particular, like any GM candidate. It wouldn't necessarily be affected by any GM candidate, but we can start off with the big picture question of, you know, I'll ask you, Brendan, what is like the general goal you want to accomplish with a Hield trade in terms of short term, long term, all that stuff?
I think it's got to be that you got to get younger. I think a lot of this off season and just moving forward, like, you need to get on De'Aaron Fox's timeline, and that also fits the Bagley timeline. But I think without speaking for all of us, I mean, I'm very skeptical of Bagley being a long-term building block at this point. But I think you got to get on the De'Aaron Fox timeline. You know, he's one of your, I mean, he's the cornerstone of this team. He's 22. And then you're looking at Buddy Hield, Bogdanovich, who are 27, Harrison Barnes up there as well, Kojo. Most of these players are older. And I think that this is a little bit of an opportunity to retool here and get younger. So whether that's in the form of a draft pick or a player that a team, maybe they have a little bit of overlap positionally that you can take advantage of and look for a younger guy. But I'm definitely looking to get on the timeline of De'Aaron Fox better than Buddy Hield fits that. What are you looking to get back for Hield in a hypothetical trade, Tim?
Same here. The word I keep using is reset. I think we need to reset around De'Aaron Fox, similar to what you said. The Kings are about to be old, bad, and expensive. And those are like the three worst descriptors you can use for an NBA team. Like you mentioned, everyone's either in their prime or out of their prime. There's not a whole lot going on there. And I think the 2018-2019 season kind of fooled us all a little bit, not only because we had eventually dismissed Dave Yeager, but we kept telling ourselves we got the ninth seed. But we were closer to the 14th seed than the eighth seed. We were a full 9 wins below the eighth seed. So, I mean, that's a massive gap. So between, you know, players not necessarily developing or Marvin Bagley being injured, the vets not stepping up and playing well, we need to shed contracts. We need to shed money. And then, like I said, not a full rebuild, but we need to reset around De'Aaron Fox. Get guys who are younger. You mentioned it, Brandon. Get young players or draft picks or both, whether that's for Buddy Hield or multiple other players that could be dealt this offseason and up to the next trade deadline as well. But I agree, we need to reset around De'Aaron Fox. Are you with us, Rich?
Yeah, I definitely am. It is crazy how not young this team is. It's not necessarily like super old or super ancient, but it's crazy how not young it is for a super team, just young situation. Like, it's crazy that it's really just Fox and Bagley. Like, that's really it, though. And Bagley didn't play for the majority of the year. This year it was really just Fox. And then
that's why it hurts Giles is walking.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. What's nuts is, like, I was going to ask you guys, who was the second youngest player on the roster this season, including all the rookies, including all the two-ways?
I did just have this list up, so I'll let Tim answer this one.
I'm going to guess it's Giles because he got mentioned.
Yeah, it's Harry Giles. Harry Giles was the youngest player not named De'Aaron Fox on this entire team, including rookies. He's in his third year. The team decided to decline his option. So, I mean, that was baffling to me. He's younger than Marvin Bagley. So it's just it's really confusing. Like, Daquan Jeffries were relatively excited about, not under contract yet for next season, but older than those guys, closer but older, and there's no guarantee that he's going to be set in place going forward.
By the way, I am seeing that Bagley is younger than Giles here.
I think. Oh, I'm sorry. I had that flipped.
Yeah, you were saying Fox is the youngest, but it's Bagley.
Yeah, you're right. The youngest player not named Bagley is Giles. I'm sorry. And then Fox is about a year older than Giles. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right there.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're – thank you. I had Fox and Bagley's ages flipped in my head. But second youngest player on the team still and option declined.
Yeah, and again, I mean, for where we've identified the goal being getting younger, that's, you know, some upside in a young player that you're just letting walk out the door and getting absolutely nothing in return. There was really not much cost in extending him that contract. There wasn't much logic behind it either, and in my opinion. You just got to feel terrible about that one. I think we've kind of pointed out that one enough here. What else do we feel like you need to touch on? Like, I'll say that I really value, as much as I think that this draft, while it's weak at the top, like, there could be some, you know, wouldn't surprise me, the best player came in the teens or something like that. And there's, like, decent depth to it. There's guys that somewhat interest me towards the middle of the first round, but there's a lot more value, obviously, in the next upcoming draft, particularly at the top. I don't think that Buddy Hield's getting you that level of player or anything. And I think the other thing we consider here is, I mean, it sucks that this is the time you're moving Hield when it really feels like an all-time low for his value, right? Like, how much do you think that teams are looking at him and just aware that he was misutilized? So maybe that still keeps some of the value, but it's got to be hurting after this, like, subpar performance, mainly, I would point, due to the coaching, right, Tim?
Agreed. I don't think his value is terrible. Like, his contract isn't great. I think when he's used correctly, his contract is okay. Like, his contract is probably neutral value when he's used properly. I don't think he has a great contract. I don't think his contract is terrible either. Although with the cap drop and all that mess, you couldn't have predicted that when you signed him to the contract. He's a near max rookie scale player next year, assuming the cap drops relatively dramatically. But his contract is declining. So I agree that some of his value definitely decreased this year, both through the contract and then, of course, Luke Walton's usage and Buddy Hield's poor play as well. We can't just take his responsibility away. But I think he's still got value, and I think teams are going to look at him as, hey, he's probably the third best volume three-point shooter in the NBA, one of the best volume three-point shooters in NBA history. He can knock down shots. If I just use him as a J.J. Redick, if he allows himself to be used as a J.J. Redick or a Klay Thompson or whatever other role you want to assign him, he can be an elite shooting guard. He can be a top 10 shooting guard. We just got to get him in the mindset to do that. And if the right team with the right coach trades for him, he's going to have a lot of value for that team, probably more value than the Kings are going to receive back. Are you in agreement, Rich?
I am and I'm not. I think, like, in theory, what you're saying, I agree with. But the more that I've looked at the contract, the more that I think it's just a definite negative. Like, with the Sacramento tax, it doesn't feel like a disaster. And before this year, when things were going really well, he was playing really well, it didn't feel like a bad deal at all. But again, like, that's considering the Sacramento tax. But when you think about the other players that are out there that do what he does, they're all paid less, I feel like, and they're not locked in for as long. Even guys that are younger. So. And I can bring up some of those names.
Yeah, what players do you think are there?
So Malik Beasley, right? He's one guy that you can look at as a restricted free agent this season. I'm going to pull up his numbers, but we may not think of him as necessarily the ace that Buddy Hield is, but I mean, he attempted this season 8.2 three-pointers a game, hit 42.6%. And he could be got for, you know, arguably, I mean, especially with the COVID stuff going on, maybe you get him for half the price you got Buddy, maybe three quarters, but you know, definitely cheaper. I would say you don't have to give Malik Beasley $86 million with incentives, and he's shooting 42.6% on 8.2 attempts a game. Another guy, Joe Harris. I'm gonna just pull up his numbers real quick. Also, I believe restricted, maybe unrestricted actually. Yeah, probably unrestricted free agent. 42.4% on 6 attempts per game. You know, not quite the Buddy volume, but we know Joe Harris, a very, very good shooter. One other guy to bring up, not a free agent, but definitely an available trade piece, is Luke Kennard, 6.5 attempts a game, 40% from three. Like, I think that you could pursue those guys for a better deal than Hield.
I would say it's better value, but I don't think – like, I think Hield is very clearly a better player than those guys. Like, I think you might be undervaluing his creation off the dribble just for himself. He doesn't do it for other people. But I think he genuinely is really good at shooting just, you know, in a drop – against a drop coverage off a pick and roll or things like that. I think he actually can create a shot for himself, which has some value. But I would agree with you that, you know, if you can get a Beasley for half the price – Beasley's better than half the player of Buddy Hield. So I get what you're saying there, but like, I do think Buddy's clearly like a good step better than those guys, but contractually and the value there, I totally see where you're coming from there.
I think too, Rich, to your point, I wouldn't say the contract is necessarily bad in and of itself in a vacuum, kind of what we described, but you're probably taking a not great to bad contract back, because especially if you're looking for draft assets or young players, right? They're not going to make anything. So Buddy Hield's contract, because it's so high and the COVID situation is going to destroy a lot of teams' financials, you're probably taking back a bad contract in most of these cases, just because that's how you make the money work. So I agree with you there in that the contract in and of itself, vacuum, maybe not so bad. In a trade scenario, it is going to hurt you a little bit because you do have to take a large chunk of money back. And usually the way you do that is by taking back a bad contract.
Well, and just this is kind of from a perspective of teams that might have cap space. So teams like the Hawks, the Knicks, the Pistons, you know, that we could say, okay, well, you know, they could use a talent infusion. I just think there could be better options. And I actually do disagree with you on that point, Brendan, where I'm not convinced that Buddy Hield is a better player or a better asset than Beasley, for example. Like, you know, you can talk about, I mean, Malik Beasley's been a knockdown shooter. Yeah, he's probably doing a little more catch and shoot than creation for himself, but he's also not really been put in that position. And it's not been proven that when he's put in a position to create for himself that he fails. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, that guy's, that's not like a good thing sometimes. You know, you put Buddy Hield in a position where he has to create for himself, and we've seen what happens. I understand that a better coach could, in theory, do a better job. But also, you got to remember that Beasley's 23 and Buddy Hield is 28. So I'm not looking at Buddy Hield compared to those guys and being like, he is so much clearly a better option than them that it makes up for the contract.
That's fair enough. And I totally see what you're saying. Those other teams, like, I'd probably rather have Beasley than Hield. Also considering the contract, everything there. And I think that kind of leads to, from other teams' point of views, which teams, what type of teams to you, when you were going through this exercise, Rich, did you feel like would be the ones interested in Hield? Like, to me, it's probably young. Is it young teams? Because, like, Hield's definitely not that young himself.
It can't be young teams, right? I mean, that I can understand why maybe a young team might be interested, but it's teams that are capped out. Like, for that exact reason of these free agents that are available, especially in a depressed free agent market where with COVID, like, no one's really going to be getting huge deals. Because if Buddy Hield were available right now, he'd be getting less than he got last summer. So it's a team that I think is capped out. So and a team that's competing right now. So you look at especially the ones that have been swept out of the playoffs or could be swept out tomorrow. Philadelphia is the one that Tim has brought up a lot. And I definitely
by the Celtics.
Am right. Okay. Save it for Celtics Pulse.
What happened?
So like Philadelphia is obviously one. I think they check every box. They want to win now. Not that they're old, but they are locked in, right? Financially super locked in. And then Indiana is another team that not super old, but they're over the cap and they are down, you know, 3-0. So those would be teams that maybe A, want to change and can't go out and try to make a competitive offer for a restricted free agent.
From tight muscles, tough workouts, signs of aging, to simply making it through each busy day, everyone understands what it feels like to be tense and sore. So everyone can benefit from TheraOne's CBD products. A lot of CBD products claim organic, but still contain up to 35% filler, and these fillers are potentially toxic. TheraOne tests their products 4 times before they get to you. Every product is USDA certified organic, grown in the US, and their CBD extracts are the highest quality available anywhere. And now, through Labor Day, Monday, September 7th, TheraOne is offering our listeners a buy one, get one free for all TheraOne products. But you've got to go to theragun.com/bluewire. If you don't love what you get from TheraOne, send it back for a full refund within 30 days of purchase. This is not something TheraOne is likely to do again. Buy one, get one free at Theragun, TheraGun.com/bluewire, but only until Labor Day. Go right now to Theragun.com/bluewire.
Definitely, that makes sense to me. And then, I guess potential teams that feel like, what are we going to do with all this cap space we have? But as you pointed out, I would agree with you. I think there's better ways for them to utilize that. Tim, do you feel like there's any other things we should point out here before we just kind of jump into some of the hypotheticals we have?
No, I think Buddy's going to a contender or a wannabe contender. He's not going to anyone young. And most of the teams with cap space are young and non-contenders. So I don't really foresee him going into cap space anywhere.
Yeah, like you said, Brendan, like maybe, and we've talked about Atlanta and like maybe if a team just has so much cap space, they don't know what to do with it. But again, like that probably is a mistake because you could, if you were just more patient, you could probably do better with it.
Yeah, totally. And do we want to just kind of start with some of the ones that you laid out in your piece here, Rich, and let you lead the way with that?
Yeah, I'll start with the one I have set up for Philly, and I think that Tim has a separate one for Philly, so we could just start with the Sixers and stay there for a minute. One option would be Buddy Hield and Jabari Parker for matching reasons for Tobias Harris. Thoughts on that one, Brendan, and then we can get Tim's Sixers one as well?
Yeah, I mean, one of the first things that obviously stands out is Harris being on the books until 23-24 with upwards of $30 million in all those. And, you know, again, I mean, that's just kind of what's happening since Hield's contract is looked at as probably a negative in this one as well. So while I do see the idea of, you know, Harris being a decent fit on this team, I hate Harris's contract and it goes against my idea of like, I really just would want to get younger with this roster. I feel like this is a little bit, it's an improvement, but it's not enough to get you into the playoffs. So this kind of feels like a lateral move to me almost in a way. What do you think of that one, Tim?
Yeah, this feels like to me a trade Vlade Divac would have made, right? Like win now, who cares about the money, right? We're gonna compete. I don't like the trade. Like I liked the trade maybe before the bubble performance, maybe that's a little bit too hot takey, but we were so terrible in the bubble and no one looked good and the team just really fell apart and no one played well except for De'Aaron Fox. So Tobias Harris, he's a talented, like low level to almost all-star in the East, probably not an all-star in the West, combo forward. He's going to put up numbers, but he's not going to necessarily raise the ceiling of this team that much higher for the cost. to your point, Brendan. And then, you know, it's one of those things where we could trade for Tobias Harris. We probably win three or four more games. So we're 38-39 win team. We get that 9th or 10th seed, and then we're locked into this core even longer. So definitely something I would want to avoid. And to Rich's point earlier, just about to dive into my Philly option as well, is, you know, Philly has, according to Bobby Marks, he tweeted about this, I think, earlier today, Philly has the second highest payroll in league history next year at around $200 million, and they just got swept in the first round. So they've got to shed salary. So if they're not shedding Tobias Harris, the other one they can shed is Al Horford, who does not fit their team at all, and I don't understand why Philly gave him that contract this last offseason. Elton Brand is pretty terrible at his job. So my proposal was very similar to Rich's as far as who's going out, was Buddy Hield and Jabari Parker, and then returning is Al Horford, Zaire Smith, the 2020 OKC first-rounder, which I believe is the 21st overall pick this year, and then a 2022 Philly first-rounder that would have light protections. That just, it gives Philly a shooter, which they desperately need around Simmons and Embiid. The contracts are about even, although Hield will make a little bit more in the final season. But it just gives Philly talent increase, whereas it's not necessarily decreasing their salary the whole time. Does that feel realistic to you, Rich, or am I being too greedy with those two first rounders?
You said two first rounders?
Yep.
Can you just give me the picks again?
Yep, 2020 OKC first round, 21st overall this year, and then a 2022 Philly first rounder. I have a top five protected, but I would let them protect that more if they really wanted to.
Yeah, I don't think that second first rounder is really realistic. Certainly not top five. Like, if we're going full lottery protection, maybe.
Yeah.
But
yeah, my theory behind that, yeah, was, I mean, Al Horford has probably the third or fourth worst contract in the league right now. He's owed 3 years, $69 million, and he's just not effective anymore. I mean, he's okay, but for the price he's in, for the desperation that Philly's in right now, they have to get better next year. If they didn't give me the second first rounder, I would probably let them get away with like a pair of second rounders or something like that. But that would at least be my ask. And I want to say as well, they're not giving up Matisse at all. For those people that are asking for Matisse, that's just not happening in this trade.
Yeah, Matisse is the obvious piece that people would kind of eye. But yeah, no, I think a second is probably too much, but you have a good point. You kind of keyed on the desperation of the Sixers, especially, you know, they say they keep Elton Brand around, and yeah, I mean, you have, like you mentioned, a extremely high payroll going into next season, and you really need to win now, even though you have a little bit of a somewhat young core in Embiid, Simmons. So if you could take advantage of desperation, like, this is sort of a way to do that. And obviously a very big need for shooting, Hield clearly filling that. So I guess I like it better than the Harris one because you're getting the shots in the draft. But I do think that, you know, maybe it's a first and a second rounder you're talking, or something like, you know, maybe those 2 seconds. But again, yeah. And like Horford, when he was a bit younger and not moving terribly out there, was in hypothetical really good Bagley fit, you know. And I don't know how much that you build around Bagley again now. So like, I guess I don't hate that there, but yeah, like you mentioned, 34 now and on the books till 22, 23 with upwards of $25 million on that deal. I'd say I like it better than the Harris one. If it's two first rounders, I'm feeling pretty good about that, but I struggle to get around the idea of Philly doing that unless they really are just overly desperate, which, I mean, like you pointed out, Elton Brand hasn't been the greatest GM.
Yeah, I kind of hate both of these trades for them, honestly. I think what makes sense about Philly as a trade partner are things that the Kings would do, but I don't necessarily think that we would want them to do. Like the Harris one to talk about first, I feel like the Kings would jump at a guy that they just don't have a chance to really sign in free agency. Like, even though he's not an all-star, he's kind of borderline and could be, you know, potentially given the right workload. Like, I could see the Kings being like, look, we can snap him up. We can get an all-star appearance out of this. He's going to take so many more shots here, whatever, whatever. They probably wanted him in free agency before. Like, it's just the type of guy that they would want. And then I could also see them liking Horford, like thinking, yeah, it's a terrible contract, but if we can get the right assets, we would take him because we actually think he would be really good for us. Like, he would be – like, we think that the league is undervaluing him, and I just think both of those ideas are Kingsy, but, like, fundamentally flawed.
The Horford thing, I mean, Horford just fell off a cliff so hard this year and even his last year in Boston. Like, just the movement of him definitely regressed there, and Philadelphia did misproperly utilize him defensively, but I don't know how much faith I have in Sacramento to do that. And yeah, extremely old guy. Like, I guess there's a little bit of a veteran presence that you kind of like that, you know, Barnes gives you, but that's not enough. So there's definitely other ones that you mentioned in your piece that I like better than these.
Yeah, let's jump to another team here, if you're good with that, Tim. I think this was a team that you brought up first. I actually touched base with you before I published this one, because I wanted to make sure this wasn't your IP, your intellectual property. But I know that we both have been trying to get Miles Turner off the Pacers for a long time. I forget who I even offered for him in some midseason trade scenarios in a different trade article, but I know I desperately want this guy. Tell me what the one I threw out there was Miles Turner and Jeremy Lamb for Buddy and Nemanja Bjelica. If you have an adjustment to that or whatever, tell me what you know about them, because I know you've been talking to Pacers writers and stuff, trying to get a deal like this cleared and see if it would work.
Yeah, I think Miles Turner, of any like player that we've targeted between any of our trades that we've all talked about privately and publicly, I think Miles Turner is the best result. He's 24, I want to say, 23 or 20. I think he'll be 24 next year. He's just turned 24, I don't remember. Shot blocker, floor spacer. So, I mean, we've always talked about Marvin Bagley. He needs a shot blocker, a rim protector, and a floor spacer with him. That's exactly what Miles Turner has done in his career. His contract is relatively acceptable. It's not crazy expensive. And I spoke to a Pacers writer very unofficially a couple of days ago, and he said he thought that the Pacers would be interested in Hield. You know, they tend to go with a three-guard lineup a lot with the Holiday brothers. So he felt that the Pacers, you know, Turner has kind of a little bit worn out his welcome in Indiana, especially with the emergence of Sabonis. So he's kind of worn out his welcome, and they probably just need to change things up. You mentioned it, Rich. They're down, I think, 3-0 right now. So they need to change things up around Oladipo anyway and Sabonis. So I think this would give them an elite shooter around Oladipo and kind of just change things up for their team. If we can get Miles Turner, the other peripheral things around the trade, Jeremy Lamb would be a great get for Sacramento. I really like his play. But if the basics of the deal was Miles Turner for Buddy Hield and whatever else went around that, I would be extremely stoked. Brendan, would you be excited for Miles Turner as well?
Yeah, I'd be really happy with this. I do like the idea of Turner, and I've been very up and down on him for a while. I was just completely enamored with him and thought that he was going to be the perfect center in the NBA, and he fits that. But you know, the perfect center in the NBA is still just a role player for the most part. I mean, obviously you're out discounting superstars there. And I think it's an okay deal, but you know, $17.5 million on his contract, it's a little bit of money. I do really like Turner. Don't get me wrong. I think that'd be something you're really getting back well for Hield here. I don't know. I guess I just I've been questioning if I've been overrating Turner recently, especially seeing, you know, them potentially leaning Sabonis over Turner. And I think it's also fair to point out that while Indiana has been unsuccessful, they've, you know, Oladipo's coming back from injury, and I think they could discount it or count it towards Sabonis not being on the floor. So I do like this for Sacramento. I hesitate to believe that Indiana would like this from their point of view, but I could see the logic here. I definitely like it better than the Philadelphia trades you're working with here.
Yeah, definitely. I wonder, do you think that like the team is in a good enough place where if you add a good piece, the team can kind of catch up to that? Like, so like Miles is good and he's ready to play now, ready to win now. Like, there are win now teams that would be very well served by adding Miles Turner. But do you think we're losing any time with him? Like, you know, if he comes for Heald in this team, I mean, this team maybe gets better, but probably not enough better, right, to where the next few seasons are really super valuable.
That's interesting. So it could just, like, not impact winning, and then he's gone by the end of the contract anyways.
I'm just thinking in terms of, like, would you rather have a pick?
Yeah, I think I would. I mean, because you have that pick for much longer than obviously you'd have Turner there. And while Turner does have like that clear talent protecting the rim, and Sacramento is just horrendous at that, I would value a pick more. I mean, it depends on the range that you're talking, but for how long that you're likely to have that pick for, I would probably value a pick more.
I'm in the same boat. If the pick is in the mid to late teens in the 2020 draft, you know, another super strong draft, I'm probably favoring that, like an 18, 19. If it's a later first round pick, I'm valuing Turner more than that. I think Turner can really help Bagley grow, which is key here, right? I think for the Kings to really get good, if I'm just being honest, Bagley has to become something, because there's not really another path to a second star unless they get lucky in the draft. They're not trading for a superstar to sit next to De'Aaron Fox. They either have to get lucky in the draft, or that has to be Marvin Bagley. So Miles Turner for the next three seasons is going to be a really good partner for Marvin Bagley, even though Miles Turner, you mentioned Brendan, he's really a good role player. Marvin Bagley needs a good role player next to him that can space the floor and protect the rim. So yeah, a good pick I'm going to value over Turner, but anything outside like the mid to late teens, I'm probably taking Turner over the pick.
Yeah, tough call. It definitely depends on where the pick would be. Yeah, so let's go to another one here. Everyone is going to love this one. The Orlando Magic. Everybody at the Kings Herald has wanted Aaron Gordon for a really long time, for whoever, whatever. I think we've discussed him in a million scenarios, but if Buddy Hield's outgoing, the salary's close enough, I believe, to match. Maybe you got to throw in a piece, you know, whatever that could be cut essentially, but straight up Buddy Hield for Aaron Gordon. Do you take this deal, Brendan?
Yeah, I ranked all of yours here, and I slightly thought this was worse than the Miles Turner, Jeremy Lamb return. I think that Turner is a valuable, you know, a 3-and-D center. I think that since we're really looking for that for Bagley, it made me realize that that's not as common as I really thought it was. So I think I like the Turner one a bit better here, but I still think this is a decent return for Buddy Hield. I think at the beginning, I kind of mentioned, you know, and you definitely pointed it out in your piece that the reason this has a lot of logic to it for both teams, with Sacramento having a little bit of that overlap at the shooting guard position and Orlando obviously having that same clog at the power forward. So it makes a lot of sense for both sides. And, you know, maybe the idea is that there's a bit of untapped potential with Gordon if he got a bit of a bigger role. I think that he makes a lot of sense in transition if you return to that a little bit. And he's a decent defender. I'm a little unsure on him there, because I think at some point, kind of similarly to Turner, I probably overvalued Gordon on the defensive end. But yeah, I think that he's probably a positive player on that end. And I like the idea of it. I like Turner a little bit better because I just tend to like the player that Turner is. I think that you know what you're getting there, but there's potentially a little bit more untapped ceiling with Gordon that I see why that can intrigue you. And, you know, I will throw out, that's the only NBA player I've ever seen in high school being in San Jose. So I got a little bit of a soft spot for Aaron Gordon. So I don't hate this one. I think it's a decent return. What about yourself, Tim?
In here. I also like the Miles Turner trade a little bit more. I think Turner pairs better with Bagley. Gordon was an excellent defender coming out of college. That was actually one of his calling cards, aside from obviously his athleticism. And then once he joined the league, he's been a little bit buddy-heeled throughout his whole career, and he's been miscast. He's played small forward a bunch in his career. Almost like 35 to 40% of his career minutes have come at small forward, and he's clearly not a small forward. The Magic just can't stop drafting and acquiring big men. So I think in that aspect, you're right. He's been miscast. He's been misused a little bit. So there's some potential there for him to grow as a full-time power forward. He's not going to spend really any time at the wing. He's not going to really spend any time at the center unless we're playing small ball. And as you mentioned as well, transition with De'Aaron Fox, Bogdan Bogdanovic, all those guys, Marvin Bagley, of course, he could really excel in that realm as well. So I like this trade. His pairing with Marvin Bagley offensively scares me a bit. Neither player really plays the pick and roll. Neither player spaces the floor. Gordon had one season where he shot 34%. I guess two seasons where he shot 34% from three, but he's not really spacing the floor at all, although he tends to think he's a floor spacer. So similar to what you said, Brendan, I'm okay with this trade. It's not as good as the Turner trade, but I like it more than the Philly trades as well. Rich, how are you feeling?
Yeah, you're good. You're making a good point with the Bagley pairing. It's not great. They're pretty similar players as far as like just relying on athleticism rather than, you know, the pick and roll or being real anchors on defense or real shooters. But I think it's okay to have two of those guys if like both of them are able to hit whatever, like 33% from deep, and both of them are able to be, you know, threats flashing to the basket at any given time, and both of them are like decent defenders, you know what I mean? It's like, it's okay. But I think Gordon would pair decently well with Barnes or Holmes. Like those lineups I think work okay. So he's not like the dream fit of a Miles Turner, but I think he pairs well enough with kind of anybody else on the roster. So
yeah
I would do this deal.
To go back to your like question you had with Turner, I would prefer a draft pick over Gordon too, because both of these guys, while, you know, I think of them as pretty young prospects for a team that, you know, your two core guys moving forward are 22 and 20 in Fox and Bagley, a 24-year-old in both of these guys is still up there a little bit. While it is like an improvement from Hield, I think that I would value getting a little younger.
Gordon turns 25 next month, so he's not even – you know, he'll be 24 for a very short time.
And, you know, to be honest with you, like, I'll get to this later, but the Miles Turner Gordon thing, like, even if we would do these deals, I'm not convinced that these other teams would do these. They're close enough to where I can write it up and we can discuss it and it's not ridiculous, you know what I mean? But I don't know that we can make tremendous arguments. Like, we can get lucky and say, okay, well, the Magic need more guards. They need more shooting. We can get lucky and say, we can hope we get lucky, and the Pacers say we need to kind of blow this up. We don't need two centers. You know, we need another guard. But it's like, these are not overwhelming. Like, these are not options available. I do think we'd get a little lucky. These might be better players on better deals than Buddy Hield.
Totally. I think that, yeah, I mentioned a little bit with the Indiana one. I don't know if they would pull the trigger on that. You know, you hear Aaron Gordon's name floated around for the second pick, even going to Golden State and things like that. So you do have a good point where, you know, if these teams felt desperate to move on from these guys, they probably could do better than Hield. I wouldn't be absolutely shocked to see these happen, but I would be hesitant if I was Indiana or Orlando here. By yourself, Tim.
Yeah, same. Orlando, especially with the Jonathan Isaac injury, you know, he's going to be out for a long time. And while they have a big man glut, Isaac's out. Bamba has not really performed, and he's been hurt. So they don't have – and they also have, from a guard level, they have Fultz, they have Fournier, who I assume is going to opt in, and they have Terrence Ross. So they're not necessarily desperate for – I know Fultz is more of a combo guard, point guard, but they're not necessarily desperate for shooting guards either. So – I think that's a really, really astute point, Rich, is that neither of these teams are necessarily going to be hunting for Buddy Hield. I think we're going to be potentially hunting these guys and hoping that one of these teams.
Yeah, and one other just quick note on Orlando. I think the Isaac thing definitely put a damper on our hopes for that Orlando trade to make sense. But I will point out, someone brought this up to me, that I believe it's Chuma Okeke. Chuma Okeke.
Yeah, Auburn kid.
Yeah, it was really a strange situation where I believe he went to the G League right away as the 15th overall pick, 16th overall pick. Like, right outside the lottery, went straight to the G League. But he's going to be joining the Magic this season. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe if he's able to hold down that spot enough where they want to give him a lot of minutes in the league, maybe that's not as big. I just totally forgot about him because, well, he's never been in the NBA. But it's a little more depth, like even more depth than we think about with the Magic in the front court. But let's move on to another team, another trade. This one is, I'll be straight up with you, this is the one that I think makes the most sense. And it's weird because I've heard other people say this one makes the least sense. So I'll get your temperature on it. But yeah, Brendan, what do you think about the Dallas Mavericks giving up pick number 18 and then matching salary in Tim Hardaway Jr. for Buddy Hield?
So this was really interesting to me when I saw this on your piece. I mean, a little bit has to do with, like, I know that mainly what you're getting back is this pick, I feel like, that asset. But Tim Hardaway Jr. actually turned himself into a really nice role player this year. Like, he became a little bit of a 3-and-D guy with, like, a loose use of that of the defense there. But yeah, I mean, legitimately one of the best 3-point shooters in the league this year. And, you know, maybe it's an outlier year because you have Luka setting you up and you're getting a lot of open looks, but 39.8%, practically 40% on 7.2 attempts. And, you know, you do also have to account, like, Carlisle's one of the best coaches in the NBA and obviously really helped him there. I don't have the confidence that whatever person is manning the coaching staff of Sacramento next year would be able to do that the same way. But I mean, I think this is pretty good return. Like, I've really said a couple times, I value a draft pick, and I think that, you know, you could get a decent shot at someone 18 in this draft. And then again, from Dallas's point of view, I don't know. I think that they're an extremely young team also, even though they are winning now, or that young team, you know, being obviously around Porzingis and Doncic. I don't know how I feel if Dallas would do this, but this was my favorite one of the trades that you mentioned, because I think Hardaway is a decent placeholder for Hield, and, you know, you could get some okay value at 18.
Yeah, I like this trade in theory. The number 18, probably, you know, you can get yourself a Kyrie Lewis Jr. or a Tyrese Maxey, maybe, or someone in that realm, which is going to be a solid player, I think, in the NBA. And I like Tim Hardaway Jr. as well. When he signed with New York, everyone kind of laughed at the contract a little bit, and it wasn't a great contract, and then he really played well for the last couple of seasons, especially this year. He's expiring, so that gives the Kings a lot of financial relief, both from an ownership COVID situation and from a future cap situation, especially with Bogdanovich probably getting re-signed. Of course, De'Aaron Fox's 5-year max upcoming unless anything drastic changes. From a realism standpoint, not so much from the Maverick standpoint, but something I've been questioning myself about with this trade, because I think Rich and I talked about this a while back, this idea. Are the Kings going to be willing to probably make the Mavericks better when the Mavericks have done nothing but embarrass them for the last 2 years, right? Like, every time Luka plays well, the Kings get trashed on Twitter, not just from Kings fans, not just from us, but from national media. I mean, Adam Schefter was tweeting about it tonight, right? Like, they just get murdered. And I wonder if, from just an organizational reputation standpoint, if they can swallow, hey, Buddy Hield's probably going to make them better, might make them, you know, a top 4 seed in the West next year. And can we handle watching Buddy Hield and Luka Doncic excel in the league together? I don't know. And maybe I'm just reading too much in the situation, Rich. Am I being crazy here? But I feel like that might be a hesitation.
I wonder. I mean, it's a good point. It's a funny point, and I like to point out how the Mavericks are like the team GM'd by Bryant West, because they've like made every pick and every trade that Bryant exactly would have done. They're like the bizarro world kings for Bryant West. But I do think that changing GMs probably takes the sting out of that. Or like maybe Vlade would have been like, I can't be embarrassed again by these folks. Maybe a new GM doesn't care about that. I also think there's like a concept of this is for myself. If I was in charge, I'm like, let's have this one team embarrass us instead of every team embarrass us. Like, yes, we will absolutely get crushed every time we play the Mavericks. We basically have to put our heads underground and hide in a hole every time we see the Mavericks. But maybe we can actually like face the rest of the league with our heads held high. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I want to also get to that point that you brought up, Brandon, about Tim Hardaway Jr. shooting so well on such good volume this season. Definitely an outlier. Just looking at his entire career before that, he was a 34% shooter from three. Definitely an outlier, but also, like, here's the real crux of Hield's value. Like, it's not the fact that there's tension or chemistry issues or unhappiness. That's not the real problem, in my opinion. It's not that this contract is, well, it's not that, you know, Hield can't work with Bogdanovich. It's nothing internal that's like the real problem with this, with his value. To me, the real problem with this, with moving Buddy Hield, is I don't know how special being a great shooter and nothing else is anymore. Like, when Tim Hardaway Jr. can walk onto a good team with a good coach and a good game plan and shoot nearly 40% on 7.5 threes a game, like, how valuable is it really that you crank that up by like a couple extra shots a game on a similar, like, I'm just saying, like, I don't know that this is that rare anymore. We talked about Beasley. We talked about Joe Harris. Like, we talked about Luke Kennard. We talked, like, you can kind of just find that guy. Like, you can kind of just find that guy. It's not necessarily easy, but it doesn't cost you. Doesn't cost you $86 million.
Right, right. It is interesting because I think we've seen shooting develop from guys more recently, like Duncan Robinson, prime example. With that pick 18, who's to say you can't get a decent shooter to fill that role a little bit there? So yeah, I mean, if your view is of Hield as a guy that really just kind of shoots threes and that's about it, which I think is somewhat fair. I don't think it's crazy to think that you could get another guy for less value. And my little two cents on Tim's thing of, you know, would the front office be hesitant to deal with Dallas? I don't know if they would, but I don't think they should, because to me, like, where you're at right now, you're not going to catch Dallas no matter what, as messed up as that sounds, unless you just find gold in the draft or something like that. Like, they have what's likely going to be a perennial MVP candidate. Like, you're not going to catch them no matter what, to me, right now. So maybe it does matter to them, but I don't think it should. And yeah, I do agree with your point, Rich. Like, that's why I'm hesitant. You know, would Dallas really pull the trigger here?
Sundays are coming back in the NFL. With NFL SundayTicket.tv, you can stream every live out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite devices. Plus Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels. Never miss your favorite teams and favorite players. No matter where you live, NFL SundayTicket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout and get 15% off your subscription. Visit NFL SundayTicket.tv and use promo code BLUEWIRE.
My only pushback a little bit, Rich, on your point with the other players, and I don't know. I have no evidence of this either way, so I'm just throwing out a question irresponsibly. does Buddy Hield have more gravity than those other players? Not necessarily Joe Harris, but a Malik Beasley or some of the other guys, but even Hardaway Jr. You know, Buddy Hield attracts a lot of attention on defense or on offense to the defense. And I don't know if those other guys have that same gravity. I don't know that they don't either, but that may be something that the Mavericks look at. You know, when Buddy Hield catches the ball at the three-point line, teams go after him. And that may not necessarily have the same effect as some other players. So maybe that opens up the lane a little bit more for Luka, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's my only pushback is even if someone's shooting nearly as well, I just don't know if they have the same player reputation as Hield. They might, and I could be completely wrong with that point.
I'll say, I mean, like, they kind of have – isn't Seth Curry kind of that guy? You know, and I guess you could have more than one of them. It wouldn't hurt, but, like, Curry's kind of that guy on a way better deal too in a way, right?
Yeah. We let him go for Matt Barnes for 53 games in Matt Barnes. That's a story for another day.
Well, that's like, yeah. So, I mean, you're definitely, you're the answer to your question, Tim, is yes. Like, Buddy Hield is a better shooter than those guys and has more gravity. But the question is by how much? And then the question of like that difference, how much is that difference worth? And while I think this is my favorite deal because it makes sense from the value standpoint, a later first round pick, mid first round pick, that feels right, just like in my gut. And what really cemented it for me was talking to, I sent messages to numerous different Mavericks writers, and they all came back and said, this is an easy yes. We would do this deal, where no one else was doing that. No one really else like really wanted Hield, but that it seems like yeah they do have a Seth Curry, they do have a THJ, and if Carlisle can really excel at that type of player, screw it, like we would be all the way in on Hield, and it doesn't quite seem like they have the space to go get another max guy anytime soon. They're kind of, you know what I mean. So it's one where I could just see it, and it's not too far off on any different aspect. But I got my last one here, and then I think Tim has some for us. But my last one personally is a trade to the New York Knicks, and I don't even need to get into what it is, but it's basically just like I call it a grab bag. It is. It's just little bits and pieces, whatever you got lying around. You got a Frank Ntilikina, you got a Dennis Smith Jr., you got a pick 27. You got even Kevin Knox might be too much, according to Jonathan Macri, right, who we talked a couple episodes ago. Like, would you know? You got like bits and pieces laying around. You got all the cap space in the world. You know, if we can't get someone else done, do we just take whatever pieces you got?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, I don't know. I think that it is young guys. So, like, I wanted, you know, in a move from Hield to return some young guys, and Knox is probably the main guy that interests me. You know, admittedly didn't watch that much Knicks, but my impression was that he was pretty bad this year, but you know, I guess potential to possibly be unlocked there, and just got a nice frame to him. But yeah, hasn't panned out. I don't have all too much interest. Like, as much as I think Ntilikina would be a really fun guy, we would root for a lot. It's kind of a backup point guard, which, you know, I guess the team needs to fill that role. He could fill the Kojo role, but yeah. And then pick 27. I mean, I like that you're getting a pick in return. I don't know. I think that there's a chance that one of these pans out, and that's kind of your idea here. I don't mind this one. I think that I get your logic behind it, and you know, if one of the guys pans out, this could end up looking decent for you.
I hate this deal. Is that okay to say? I would hate it if the Kings did this deal. I don't hate the idea of it. I understand the idea of it, but I don't think Kevin Knox is very good. Second year regression, severe regression, is usually a bad sign, especially for a wing who can't shoot. Dennis Smith Jr. looks like a flame out. Ntilikina was reportedly shopped for a second round pick last trade deadline or something along those lines, and then pick number 27. I mean, it's like super, super late. First rounders are kind of like the worst draft pick because you've got a 4-year or 3-year guarantee for someone who probably should have gone in the second round. So this deal is just kind of that traditional like platter of okay assets that you hope one turns out. But I of all the deals, maybe besides the Harris one, I would be so unenthused by this deal. Maybe it's a smart play in the long run, especially because you're saving a bunch of money, but I feel like none of these guys are going to turn out, including pick number 27, to be like above average players. And I really need an above average player for if I can cash out Hield, if I can, like a Turner or a Gordon or, you know, the number 18. So this deal does not excite me at all. I feel like Brendan and I are a little bit on opposite ends of the spectrum here. So Rich, where do you fall?
So I think that maybe it's about how you're looking at what he is in terms of his contract, because, you know, you said you need an above average player back. I'm not sure you're going to get that, man. Like, it's more of a practical thing than I don't like this deal either. I don't like most of these deals, but I also think I'd be damn lucky to get any of them. Like, I think like even that 18th pick, I could easily see Dallas being like, oh, you want Buddy Hield for, you know, when we could get, you know, Kira Lewis, when we could get Sadiq Bey, perhaps, like on a 4-year deal at like nothing, and then and then restricted rights, and we could resign him if it becomes a good player, perhaps even like, you know, a starting level player. You're out of your mind. We're not going to give $86 million to Buddy Hield, who, like, when THJ might be better, who we didn't even want. Like, I think like his value might be horrific right now. I think that, especially with the coronavirus situation, this is essentially a dump. You know, like, yeah, you're sneaking in pick 27 here, so you can say you traded him for a first round pick, and that's nice. But this is essentially a salary dump, and I think that it's honestly like realistic to say, hey, we might want to salary dump him. And I know that's crazy, but if you're talking about the way, in terms of the macro discussion we had before this and what we wanted in the long run, you know, long-term focused, we want some assets, but we're looking in the long view here. You could make this deal and have nothing on your books after this upcoming season. You could have your books clean. Say you don't like DSJ, you don't like Nilikina, you don't like Knox. You gave them a shot. They're all former top 10 picks. You give them 1-year shot. They're still all 23 years old or younger, 22 years old or younger. You give them shots, and if they don't work out, great. We've got nothing on the books now. And we got this, but we got a first round draft pick here that we were able to choose ourselves. In all honesty, like, this deal even, I think, is too nice, too optimistic. I don't think you're getting this deal. I don't think that, quite frankly, like, that's where I'm at with Buddy Hield. I don't think you're getting any of these deals.
Let me kind of clarify. When I said I wanted an above average player, what I mean, I guess I should have said that better. I want a shot at an above average player. So like, I think Miles Turner is an above average player. I think Aaron Gordon is an above average player. I think Tobias Harris is an above average player. And then I look at the other deals of, you know, my deal with Al Horford, I'm getting the pick 21. I think you've got a shot at an above average player with 21 and Zaire Smith. I think with, you know, obviously the Dallas deal, you're getting a decent player and a shot at an above average player. And I agree with you here that I don't think the Knicks will give up all these pieces. I don't think you're getting DSJ and Knox and Nilikina and number 27. I don't think you're getting that whole package. I think you're probably removing DSJ or maybe 27, one of those two. I'm not even sure you're getting Knox for Hield. But particularly with these particular players, I don't believe in any of them, the long-term potential in the league, I guess you could say. So that's where, for me, like, I understand the concept of the trade. I just don't like any of these players. So I wouldn't execute this deal in the matter that I don't think any of these guys are going to be any good.
Just to go back to that Philly thing, like, you referred to, like, pick 21 as a shot at a decent player. Like, why isn't pick 27 a shot at a decent player?
I mean, that's significantly later, right? That's 6 picks later in a 30.
Not really. Like, in terms of how drafts normally pan out and the expected return – it's not like significantly better chance to get an all-star at 21 than 27. Like, you're looking at roughly, you know, maybe a few percentage points drop, but like, yeah, you've absolutely got a chance. Like, we don't even know who's going at those picks.
For sure. I think I disagree on the value of those picks. I think 21 is better value than 27, and I would rather have Smith than, I don't know if I'd rather have Smith than Knox, but I do think.
And you're having to deal with Horford's contract. Like, I think it's a better deal than the Horford thing.
Yeah, I disagree, but I don't think you're crazy for thinking that, for sure.
Yeah, and Tim, do you have potentially some other ones that you maybe want to lay out here?
Yeah, so what I did this afternoon after we talked about this is I just kind of threw together, I tried to find a couple of trades. I feel like a lot of Kings Twitter has talked about definitely Philly, a little bit Dallas, some New York. So I feel like we've talked about these a lot. So I tried to find a couple others that we haven't necessarily discussed. I don't want to say I like either of these deals or that I think either of these deals will happen, but I just want to bring up a couple of different perspectives that, you know, if there's teams out there that maybe want Hield that we described earlier, they kind of want to win now. So the first one, you're both going to hate, and I don't like it, but I could see the Kings doing it. Sacramento gets Danny Green, Quinn Cook, and Kyle Kuzma for Buddy Hield.
I weirdly don't hate it. Like, I mean, like, Kuzma's jump probably is what's doing it for me a little bit here, but...
A jump? I hate this. I hate Kyle Kuzma. What are you talking about? What jump?
I hate Kyle Kuzma, too.
I don't know. I like came around to his defense a little bit here, and he's, I don't know. He is older than what I was thinking sitting at 25 here.
Save it for Kuzma Pulse.
Oh yeah. Okay. All of a sudden I'm a big Kuzma guy. This is all of a sudden, this is another Austin Rivers situation.
Oh, man.
No, I mean, yeah, I don't like it as much as, you know, a Miles Turner, Aaron Gordon, or it's probably on the same level of like, I like it better than either of the Philly ones, but yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I came around to Kuzma a little bit more than I did before, but he's still a little older, so eh.
Yeah, I think Kuzma is one of the most overrated players in the NBA. Okay, the other one, which was I thought was really interesting to me, I don't really like it either, but going to Memphis, because maybe they want to push since they had that 8 seed and lost it, Dylan Brooks and Gorgui Dieng for Buddy Hield.
I've seen some Memphis bloggers throwing out trades that are slightly different to this. It's Gorgui Dieng and a future first round pick. So I'll just say I think that probably makes more sense because I think they want to get better now, which is weird, but I think that they're really trying to like cement themselves as that 8 seed if possible. And I think they like Dylan Brooks personally. So I'll just throw that out there.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest. I don't know how I feel about Brooks. He's a little bit of a chucker and not the biggest fan of him defensively either. I like the idea of a pick a little better, probably on the same level of, you know, I of this Laker one, I guess. I probably like the Laker one a little better. And again, the only ones I probably feel better than of the ones we mentioned with these two is the Sixers ones.
Yeah, I don't necessarily love this trade either. I was thinking Brooks kind of had an up and down performance in the bubble for sure. And he's, like you said, Brendan, he's a chucker a little bit. And I think Hield's a better player than Brooks. Brooks is obviously younger and he's only making like $34 million for the next 3 years or something like that. But yeah, if they got a pick in Dieng and that was kind of the deal, I wouldn't be super mad at that. But I don't really like either of those deals, but those are two things that I hadn't really seen floating about that I kind of came up with. But I think the THJ deal is my favorite. Tim Hardaway Jr., and then following that, Aaron Gordon, Miles Turner for sure.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say I'm gonna look up because I saw Grizzly Bear Blues had like tweeted a trade for Buddy, so I'm going to look that up while you discuss that, Brennan.
Yeah, I was going to bring up the idea that we saw floated around by Bill Simmons and some other guys that, you know, Atlanta should consider moving the, what pick did they end up at? Six?
Six, yeah.
For Hield. And that's just ridiculous to me. Like, I don't get why Atlanta would do that. If they're willing to, like, 100% Sacramento should pull the trigger on that. But to me, it just makes no sense. Like, Atlanta, like I fell in love with a Halliburton fit there. But there's going to be a decent amount of guys. Like it's not, I don't think it's crazy. You get the best player in this draft at six. I don't know. I've seen that float around. I saw King's Twitter on it for a little while. I would be in love with it. I think you guys are the same way, but I just don't think Atlanta does that.
The only way Atlanta does that is if they hired Vonnie Pivac as their GM. Right.
And the idea is like, you know, what are they going to do with their cap space? Healed could very well be a better player than anyone they get at six, but they also could get someone that's probably, I feel like, significantly a step higher than Healed. I don't see it.
It didn't make any sense to me, I guess. I mean, Bill Simmons just kind of says stuff, and that's not too dissimilar to what I do and what you do. We all just say stuff, but that's a pretty wild one. I mean,
the fact that it was like, oh yeah, I like this from Atlanta's point of view. Like, oh, really?
Like the only version of that trade I could, like, I don't see this happening at all by any means, but like value wise, it'd be like Healed in 12 for six, right? Like maybe Atlanta moves back to get a starting caliber shooter. But yeah, I definitely don't see Healed 4-6 straight up. That doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, if that happened, whoever our new GM is, I will love them forever, but I just don't think that's realistic.
Yeah, I actually talked to someone, a Hawks draft guy, just looking up this exact conversation, but he said he didn't think that would be absurd. He thought it would be absurd to give up six straight up, but he said he said something like Herter and six for Buddy and 12. He would entertain.
I would do that.
Yeah, I mean, I probably would consider it too. And yeah, I threw the question to a Hawks cover as well. And the quote was, I don't hate it because he's probably better than anyone they get a six. I just don't know if I agree with that. But yeah, I mean, I was surprised to see Hawks fans not hating it.
And yeah, then that conversation kind of evolved into what they could do with that money. And then we started talking about, that's where I got those names of like, why not just, if we want to spend $20 million on a shooter, we could just, you know, spend 12 on Joe, 15 on Joe Harris, like 12 on Malik Beasley or something like that. Just where,
right.
And then keep the six pick. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's probably just a little bit of desperation since from their point of view, since the Hawks were the worst 3-point shooting team in the league last year. But yeah, I agree with you there, Rich. I don't think it. Yeah, I mean, there's better guys that you could get for cheaper for sure with that money.
So I'll just circle back around to Memphis one last time because I found their proposition here. It is Gorgui Jang, Grayson Allen, 2022 first round pick, lottery protected, and a couple of seconds.
I don't like the lottery protection.
Yeah, like if they executed that trade, I mean, it's fine, I guess. It's not my favorite. It's not my least favorite. But you know, lotto protected for a potential lotto team. I would have to see how those protections dropped the next year. I know we're all just it's all hypothetical. But if that dropped like top three protected or top one protected the next season, that makes it a lot more palatable. But yeah, that's not. There's a lot better. I shouldn't say there are a lot better deals. There could be potentially better deals than that one, but you're getting a pick that could be, you know, teens. That's not terrible.
Yeah, I think the best case scenario, I don't have one favorite that I would choose necessarily, but like the best case scenario, I think, is something like a matching salary and a pick in the second half of the first round. So like, anything from pick 16 to 30 and, you know, some form of matching salary in terms of some form of functional placeholder. That's kind of where I think we're looking.
I would say 16 to 26 so I can not include your New York Knicks.
yeah, maybe we can wrap up with, like, what our favorite deal of the ones mentioned today. Maybe we'll be in agreement with between a few of us, but for me it was definitely the Dallas pick or the Dallas swap I think that, you know, you're getting the best draft pick out of that. And obviously that, assuming you don't draft some guy that's been in college for 4 years, which Sacramento probably shouldn't, you get a young potential upside player there. And Hardaway Jr. as a slight placeholder for 1 year. Yeah, since I'm really valuing young pieces moving forward, that draft pick stood out to me, and the Dallas one was my favorite one there. What about yourself, Tim?
Yeah, I would say Dallas number one, with Indiana being a close second, and then probably Orlando being a distant third. Are you kind of in the same boat, Rich?
Yeah, that works. I think that you got to extend your range at the 27.
I refuse.
Well, it's weird that you would build a fake trade for Kyle Kuzma, who was picked 27 a couple of years ago, and then refused to accept pick 27.
Just remember, I didn't like that trade. I just wanted to put that out there. So Brendan is in love with Kyle Kuzma now.
Oh, right. Here
well,
we go.
We know that. We know
and by
that.
The way, Austin Rivers and Dennis Schroeder have been balling, just so we know.
Your style and your taste is atrocious, my friend.
I actually think it's so funny that Rivers has been going crazy. Anyways.
Wait, no, let's talk about TJ Warren then, if we're going to bring up guys.
That's fair enough. Fair enough. No. And then we can just all talk about Luka Doncic.
There you go. Or not. So then I'll cry myself to sleep.
Yeah, we also couldn't. Yeah. I think that I wouldn't be surprised if Sacramento was faced with a situation where they had to move on from Hill this coming offseason. And, you know, I think that more than likely, if that is the case, Kings fans are going to be disappointed with the return. You mentioned it in your piece, Rich, like having seen what Hield is capable of, but his value is just – I debatably somewhat, but his value is probably in the gutter right now. And, yeah, so I wouldn't be all too surprised to – see Hield moved on from this offseason, and I like picking Bogdanović over Hield if that's what it came down to. So maybe this is a conversation that we're having. I got my dates all weird with the season funky, but I think it's October or something like that, right?
If it sticks, yeah, might get delayed.
But yeah, unless you got anything else here, Rich, I think that's going to do it, right?
Yeah, that's it, man. It's funny. We'll never, not never. We won't know how this is gonna end up until, months from now. He can't be traded before then. We don't know who's even gonna make a trade if the trade does happen. We don't know who'll be in charge. So crazy amount of speculation here, but always, I think, an informative topic, trade value. So it's gonna help us really figure out where he's at. And I think it, getting anything that is comparable to what we thought we had in Buddy last season, like if you think about who we thought he was at the end of last season, that's not what we're getting back in value for him now. So a little bit depressing, but that's all for me today.
Yeah, and briefly I'll come back to, I think that whether Hield asks out or not, this team needs to get younger and build around Fox. But you'll hear, I'll definitely keep writing about that. And I'm sure all the guys at King's Herald, whether they agree or disagree, will be giving their opinions and covering all the news and throwing out ideas for the Kings throughout this off season and with the draft coming up and everything like that. So definitely check out their page regularly, check out their Patreon to support local Kings coverage. And thanks to everybody for listening to this episode of the Kings Pulse Podcast. You'll hear from us again in the next couple of days. Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball and basketball is finally kicking off this week, and there's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Check out all the odds, futures, and props to bet on, all available 24/7. And with the return of sports, BetOnline sat down with former pro players Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and seven-time NBA champion, we'll go with six-time NBA champion, Robert Horry. See what they had to say and what it'll be like playing without fans in a series they're calling Fandemic.
Visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. Remember to use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.